Hi, everybody. This is a good morning for RCFB Talk 37. My name is Bob Akhayeri, and I'm going to be joined, as always, by J.D. Moore and Sirius. We're going to have a special guest at about 10:30. We're going to be joined by South Carolina head coach Shane Beamer, and we're going to have a good conversation with him. So we're going to be starting that conversation in about, less than 5 minutes. We just wanted to get things rolling and sort of add my co-hosts, making sure we're ready to go here. All right. So welcome again. My name is Bob Akhayeri. This is RCFB Talk 37. We're going to be joined shortly by head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks, Shane Beamer. Sirius, JD, we've been doing quite a bit of research on the Gamecocks ahead of this. What are your thoughts so far? As we head into the season with them?
I mean, we've heard many, many times on these calls, on these talks, we are huge fans of South Carolina. Our listeners are big on South Carolina. And overall, I think it's really hard to deny the excitement that's happening in Columbia. You have a season where they had a bowl win. They have momentum turning around from the 2-8. Fiasco under Will Muschamp to a winning season, a new culture, and a lot of excitement with a guy like Shane Beamer at the helm. And I'm really excited to talk to him here in a couple of minutes.
And one thing we've noticed, obviously, probably the biggest thing non-South Carolina fans who haven't been really paying close attention to was the transfer of Spencer Rattler into the program from Oklahoma. But there's so much more than that, and it's going to be interesting to get a sense of how we're going to see this offense develop. Because I mean, they return Josh Van, they return a good tight end in Jaheim Bell, but also they brought in a couple of guys. Actually, one of Spencer Rattler's old targets, Austin Stogner, tight end from Oklahoma, is going to be there. They brought in a great graduate transfer with Christian Beal Smith, Wake Forest running back, who was their leader for the last two seasons. And Juice Wells, who's a wide receiver from, he was a second team All-American over at James Madison. So they've got some new weapons to add to their repertoire and give Spencer Rattler not only a more targets to aim at, but hopefully improve the run, which is always a thing, because they also have some talented backs there. I mean, unfortunately, Marshawn Lloyd was a very highly recruited running back. He's been kind of bugged by injuries, and last year he was not where he would have liked to have been. So if they can bring him back and he gets into sort of where the potential he has, I think that'll make South Carolina more potent on offense. And on defense, certainly, one of the things that's been discussed is they need to improve their defense against the run. So as people are joining us, this is RCFB Talk 37. A couple of minutes, we're going to be joined by head coach of South Carolina, Shane Beamer. We just wanted to kind of get things rolling a bit. And as soon as he's here, we're going to shift to that. So we're really excited to have all of you joining us. Really excited to hear from the coach in a bit. And so Sirius, have we been able to get your looks like that's having a bit. Riff, go ahead. You wanted to add something.
Yeah, so I think one of the other things that I think we need to also be excited about with South Carolina, obviously when Coach Beamer is going to be here any moment, one thing I'm really excited to see is the defense that we're also going to see with South Carolina. They recently just had an extension on their defensive coordinator. That's going to be their linebacker coach, Clayton White. With that extension, we saw a little bit of improvement, but we also see guys coming in like Terrell Dawkins is going to be coming in on the defensive line. We're going to see opportunities like Zach Pickens. And of course, you return guys in the secondary like Cam Smith. I know that everybody is really excited to see, Spencer Rattler coming in as this big famed quarterback. And obviously you have a lot to be excited about the offense, but this defense is also slated to improve. I know that they're going to be replacing a couple of guys who made all SEC in the secondary, but in terms of bringing in guys from the portal and actually bringing in new talent, I'm really excited to see what South Carolina is going to do on the defensive side of the ball, especially as we see this kind of turnover in the SEC East.
Yeah, certainly. And on the defense, they bring back at least a couple of really good guys. I mean, Cam Smith on the has a second team All-American corner in all the preseason magazines. So that's that. Oh, hey, our coach is here. So let's go ahead and invite him. I know this is first time doing a Twitter space, so this might be just a second as we adjust. But great, glad to have you with us. Let us know when you're on. We're going to go ahead and just sort of see if we can do that. I'm going to send an invite to speak your way. And oh, great.
Y'all hear me?
All right. I think, we can. That's wonderful.
All right.
Thanks for joining
Some
us.
technical difficulties, but I'm trying to figure this thing out.
Don't worry about it. We always, trust me, we have dealt with everything during this show. Well, welcome, Coach. We hope you had a great Father's Day yesterday with your family. Did y'all do anything fun?
Not much. Did a whole lot of nothing. Just took it easy. We were coming off a week of football camp here in Columbia and recruiting visits and things like that. So to be able to have a day to just kind of hang out with the family, we just laid around the house and swam a little bit. And wife and I went for a long walk and just watched some golf and took it easy.
Excellent. Excellent to hear. Well, I'm glad that you've had some time to rest and recharge a little bit, especially in an off season like this, where you're coming off a huge year for South Carolina. You had the bowl win, you had a top 25 recruiting class, and a lot of momentum coming into this new year. So I kind of want to start with the most important question. Are you still finding Duke's mayo in your hair after that cooler dunk?
I'm sure there's plenty in there somewhere that's like embedded and will never come out. But yeah, that was a great day in Charlotte, and that was well worth getting dumped with mayo to win that football game. So been a lot of fun since then. Been a lot of work that we've gotten done since then. But that will always be a special day for us here in our program.
Coach, it was a lot of fun to watch as a fan, and our Twitter account had been pushing the Mayo Bowl to actually come through with it. So we're glad that you were game and willing to take one for the team, so that we could actually see it happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to help.
Speaking about last year, you had a really strong year, exceeded a lot of people's expectations with big wins over Florida, Auburn, and North Carolina. How do you manage the expectations of 2022, given how much success that you had in 2021?
A few things. One, I came to South Carolina not to, just win seven games. It was a great start for us in year one, but all of us in this program have higher expectations than winning seven. And I was here before where we played for an SEC championship when I was an assistant coach here in 2010. And in that season, we beat Florida, Georgia, Alabama when they were number one in the country, Tennessee, Clemson. So I've seen what this program can be, and we're working hard to get back to that level. And then, as a coach, we're really excited about what we did last season. And there was a lot of work that went into winning seven football games and just constantly emphasizing to our players that as much work went into winning seven games, it's going to take that much more work to take the next step and get beyond seven, because we play in the toughest conference in America, and there's zero debating that. So the teams around us, they're not exactly slowing down. They're only continuing to get better. So we know the work that we have ahead of us, but our guys have been great. Haven't seen any signs of any kind of, patting ourselves on the back and whatnot. We got a lot of work to do because, I look back at last season and we did win seven, and things go a different way. We maybe win a couple more, but we also had some wins at the end of the some games where we won at the end of the game that could go either way as well. So we realize what a thin line it is between winning and losing, and we're trying to do everything in our power to make sure we're on the right side of that in as many games as we can this season.
What are some of the big differences you've seen so far between the off season for your 2021 and the current off season?
Well, I think for me, and then really for the team, it's having a better idea of what to expect. Everything that we did last season and last year, it was the first time doing it. In other words, it was the first time went through a spring practice together, first time going through summer together as a team, first preseason camp, first home game, first away game, first bowl game. And now, don't get me wrong, every day is different, and there's always things that happen each and every day that you don't expect. But our players have a better understanding of us as coaches and the way we expect things to be done. Me as a head coach personally, I have a better idea of our players and knowing them better, but also an idea of what to expect. And, you know, I'm taking this month and spending a lot of time like working on our preseason practice schedule and calendar, what it's going to look like every single day, every hour, the month of August, and then in each practice in August as well. So now I can look back at notes from last August and reference things that we did and whether we liked it, didn't like it, why we did it, what we want to change. So there's a better understanding as well. And then I just think the leadership that we have returning, we had some good leaders last year, but we've got a lot of older guys that are returning and the steps that they've taken to, lead this football team has been impressive also here in the last 6-7 months since we came back after the bowl game.
You know, just to quickly follow up on that, who are some of the leaders you've seen emerge in this offseason?
Well, you know, naturally, it's starting offensively, we return every single offensive lineman, every starter and backup that we had returns, and three seniors within that group on the offensive line. Actually, four, I guess, is what it is. So we've got some natural leaders that have been around this program and have played a lot of football for us on the offensive line. Spencer Rattler, I think, has taken a step this summer. He came in January and he didn't try and force himself upon anyone. It was just come in here and become a member of the team and earn the respect of his teammates. And he has done that. And I've seen him take a step this summer. And then talking about the offensive line on defense, we got the same offensive line on offense and their leadership. We really got the same situation on defense with a lot of returners, you know, guys up front, guys like Zach Pickens and MJ Webb on our defensive line who have been here for a long time and have played a lot of football for us, and Brad Johnson, Sherrod Green at linebacker. So we've got a bunch of older guys that are hungry and really proud of them. And that's just a few. I mean, we've got a lot of guys, younger guys, older guys, offense, defense, special teams that, you know, are trying to do the right things to lead this team.
Coach, you've mentioned you didn't come to South Carolina just to win 7 games, but what is your overall vision for South Carolina? How far along do you feel that you've progressed on getting the vision of what you want South Carolina to be?
I think we've made some good strides. Obviously, we're ultimately judged on 12 Saturdays in the fall. I get that. And we did some really good things last year to go from winning 2 games in 2020 to winning 7 last year, when not many people thought we were going to win more than 3. And, you know, I can remember a quote-unquote national expert, and I put that around quotation marks around that I remember him saying at SEC Media Days that the ceiling for the 2021 South Carolina football team was 2 wins. 2 was the ceiling. So I think we blew the ceiling off of that one without a doubt. But again, I go back, we're not satisfied with 7. We have higher expectations and we're working hard to get beyond that. And I think the biggest thing is just, you know, everybody talks about culture and all that. And that's a word that gets thrown around a lot. But in all seriousness, we have changed the dynamic in this building and with this program, in my opinion, in the last year. Our players, it's a really, really close-knit group. And when prospects and recruits and their families, when they come on campus and they visit us, the one word that always comes up is the word real, that you guys are real and you guys are genuine. And it's real the way that you as a coaches and staff and the players all interact with each other and how you care about each other. You can't fake that. So I appreciate that when I hear that from families when they come. And that's where it all starts. And it's true. I mean, our guys, we love being around them, our coaches and staff, with our players and vice versa. I think the way that South Carolina is perceived has changed a little bit in the last year. Guys like Spencer Rattler and some of these transfers choosing South Carolina has changed the perception, I think, for a lot of guys. And every day is a challenge, and we're working hard each and every day to continue to move this program forward. But we've done some good things and created a lot of excitement here in the last year since the season started that our fan base has. There's great buzz about South Carolina football right now, and we're doing our part to continue to move that forward.
You know, with the program, you know, surprising a lot of people like the national media that we have alluded to, how does that change sort of the pressure on rebuilding the program? Because I know you have a vision of where you want to take South Carolina over X number of years. How did reaching so far so fast, does that cause sort of additional stress or is that something that you're working with?
No, I mean, I've had people tell me that we won too many games in year one, that we need to pace ourselves, but no, I don't feel that way. As a competitor, you want to win every single game, and I want to be at a place that has high expectations. I don't want to coach at a school whose goal is to, you know, go win four or five games every year and then every couple years make it to a bowl game. We have higher expectations here at South Carolina, and we should. I've said it more than one occasion, and I truly believe this, that, you know, we have the resources here to win at the highest level and win championships, and we play in the toughest conference in America. But we're in there, and we're competing, and we'll continue to compete with all those schools. And, you know, Ray Tanner, our athletic director, won two national championships in baseball as the baseball coach. And Don Staley is doing it in basketball and a lot of our other sports that are winning at a high level. And you know, we've got great resources. We've got to continue to move this program along. We've got to continue to stay on the cutting edge, without a doubt, with what we're doing from a support standpoint. But, no, I love where we are right now, and I'm excited that there are high expectations for sure. I mean, it's certainly different right now that, you know, there's high expectations and compared to last year when there really weren't expectations. But it's also, let's keep things in perspective. I mean, there's great excitement and there's great buzz, but I'm sure when the preseason SEC rankings come out, you know, around SEC media days next month, nobody's going to be picking us to win the SEC East. And I would imagine most people will have us somewhere fifth or sixth in our own division, and that's okay. You know, we like having that edge that and chip on the shoulder, if you will. You know, that's what you play the games for.
You mentioned Ray Tanner and Don Staley both being in the same athletic department with you, Coach. Have there been some things that you've been able to glean from them, tips or you know, even some help with recruiting, some kind of synergy that you all have been able to work together on as you're building this program back up?
Yeah, it's great having resources like them to just bounce ideas off of. And you know, I enjoy learning from all coaches, and we've got some great coaches here at the University of South Carolina in all sports. And that's what I love about coaching in college athletics, because I can, you know, go and visit with so many coaches and learn from them and watch how they handle their teams and things like that. And as a dad, I can take my kids to all kinds of different sporting events here across our awesome campus. But, you know, speaking of those two, I mean, Dawn's been fantastic. I've gone and watched her team's practice, you know, just to kind of watch how she handles her team and enjoy watching them play. And we've utilized her in recruiting. We've had some recruits that have visited campus and they wanted to meet Dawn Staley, and she's been more than willing to do that when those opportunities presented themselves. And then same thing with Coach Tanner as well. He's my boss, but it's great that he's a longtime coach and was a coach before he was an athletic director, and he has great perspective. He's a phenomenal athletic director, and it's great to be able to talk to him after games, and he gets it. He's been in the arena and won at a high, high level. So whether it's talking about football and him coming out to practice and asking about the team, or me sitting with him at baseball games and learning about baseball strategy how he handled his players back when he was coach, and he's a great resource to have as well, and thankful that he's here with me.
I know that when you were hired, a lot of South Carolina fans were really excited because you are a South Carolina native, being, you know, born in Charleston. And when you went to hire your offensive coordinator, you picked a Tennessean. Your defensive coordinator is a North Carolinian. The Southeast is such a hyper-competitive recruiting environment. So do you think that that gives you a bit of an advantage or an inside edge when you're going to these schools and, you know, you may be talking to kids that played for schools that you were familiar with growing up or your coordinators were familiar with growing up versus someone who's not from the area?
Yeah, I think it helps. You know, there's a lot of factors that go into the people that we bring into our program. For sure. I mean, being a great person first and foremost, and then, you know, being a great coach and recruiter. And recruiting is about building relationships and working hard and working to develop relationships with, you know, the people in a young man's high school and the prospect in general, for sure. But anytime you're able to bring in people that have ties to an area, it helps. I mean, starting with me, I mean, I've coached here before and I've primarily lived in this part of the country except for the 3 years that I was at Oklahoma. So coming back to South Carolina, I had been in pretty much every high school in South Carolina at some point in my career, either when I was here at South Carolina or when I was recruiting this state for Georgia and Virginia Tech and Oklahoma after I left here. And not just in South Carolina, but in North Carolina and Georgia and Florida, being able to get out and see people and then the people and develop relationships. And then the staff we put together, you're right. I mean, you've got guys, we've got coordinators that are from the South, and you look at all across the board, all of our positions for the most part are guys that are either, you know, from this part of the country or have coached in this part of the country, offense and defense. But then being able to, you know, hire someone like a Pete Limbo, who's our associate head coach and special teams coordinator. You know, Pete has Northeast ties, and we've been able to get into the Northeast a little bit more and have success in recruiting. So that absolutely helps. But, you know, once you get on board, it's about developing relationships, and regardless of where you're from, getting in there and connecting with people.
Coach, one of the things that I've always found fascinating is how, you know, people learn from mentors and ideas that they develop, watching others model themselves. And you've been an assistant under a variety of notable head coaches, starting, you know, with George O'Leary, Phil Fulmer, Sylvester Croom, Steve Spurrier, your dad, obviously Kirby Smart, Lincoln Riley. You know, that's an incredible list. So what have been some of the lessons you've learned in terms of building up a program like you're doing right now at South Carolina?
Yeah, so much. I mean, I the path that I took to get here, the coaches I coached for, and then the roles I had, you know, I'm so grateful for, because it I'm able to rely on so many different experiences that I've had. I mean, this is my 23rd year in coaching, I think, coming up, and I've been around some great coaches, and, you know, starting with George O'Leary at Georgia Tech. And that was my first really experience of ever being around something other than my dad and the Virginia Tech football program. So to see a different way of doing things and to see how Georgia Tech had to recruit nationally at that time, still do, you know, being in the city of Atlanta, so many things to offer, but being able to go out and across the country, bring in players from across the country and being around some great coaches that were on that staff with me. If you look at, you know, Jeff Collins, the head coach of Georgia Tech now, was a graduate assistant with me on that staff. And you look at some of the coaches that were on the staff, Bill O'Brien, the offensive coordinator at Alabama, and Ralph Friedgen and whatnot. There were some, you know, awesome coaches, and just learning organization from Coach O'Leary, and then going to Tennessee, my first experience with the SEC and being around a great football coach and a great man like Philip Fulmer, and seeing the importance of recruiting and how much he worked at that was awesome for me, among many other things. And then Sylvester Croom, who, you know, has had such a huge impact on me as a person and a coach. You know, he's going into the College Football Hall of Fame this December, and I'm so excited for him, and that's so well-deserved. But he gave me an opportunity. I mean, I was a 26-year-old graduate assistant, and he gives me the opportunity to coach a coach full time in the SEC in his first head coaching job ever. So for him to take a chance on me, I'll always be grateful for, and just learned so much from him about building a program. We took over a Mississippi State program that was, you know, dealing with some NCAA issues and trying to build that thing back up, and just the way that he did that, the way that he cared about the players, the way that he didn't cut corners, just had a huge impact on me. Came to South Carolina, got to be around Steve Spurrier and had an awesome 4 years here. Mentioned it earlier, won a lot of football games, and just saw the confidence and the swagger that he carried himself with, and how that resonated with his team, and they fed off that. Being back at Virginia Tech with my dad, I mean, it was an awesome experience for me. Obviously, I grew up his son, I played for him, but then to have the opportunity to coach with him and see the inner workings of Virginia Tech and how they were successful, why they were successful, was great. Going to Georgia with Kirby in year one, everybody talks about the Alabama process and Nick Saban and the structure and organization, and it's real. And to be able to see that implemented from day one, coming into Georgia in year one with Kirby, and just the way that he, you know, organized that program, the way we practiced, the way he recruited, the way he managed his staff, took so many things from that, had an awesome 2 years in Athens, and then going to Oklahoma with Lincoln. And, you know, I loved my time in Athens and wasn't looking to leave, but opportunity to kind of get out of my comfort zone a little bit and go to the Big 12 in Oklahoma, and then learn from a guy like Lincoln Riley and how he does things offensively. Another young first-time head football coach, had an awesome 3 years there as well. So I take from all those places. I'm still, you know, constantly refer back to things that we did at those places that we still do a lot of those type things in this program. And you got to be yourself. I mean, I see a lot of head coaches that get head coaching jobs from, and they were an assistant somewhere previously, and they basically just take every slogan, everything. It's like a mirror image of the program they just came from. And there's nothing wrong with that. That may work for them, but you know, I'm not going to come in here and all of a sudden use a quote that we used at Oklahoma and all of a sudden make it my own. I mean, kids aren't dumb. They're like, come on now. I know you did. Y'all say that at the school you just came from, and whatnot. So I've certainly tried to take the best of all those places that I've been, but also put my own spin on it as well to make it, you know, unique to South Carolina also, and fit what gives us the best opportunity to be successful, if that makes sense. Sorry for the long answer.
No, that's fantastic. That's great. We love and love and love a great in-depth answer, and we really appreciate that. But now that you're on the other side of being an assistant coach, I know that you got some new guys who are in full-time positions, like tight end coach Jody Wright. You got extensions for a bunch of your staff for this year. When you're making these hiring decisions, what are you looking for first and foremost when you're hiring and extending your assistant coaches?
Yeah. One, the people, the kind of person that we want in this program, you know, great people, great husbands and fathers, if they are, great teachers. Coaching is teaching, so guys that can teach. Certainly, you know, guys that have to be able to recruit and have the personality and the work ethic to recruit, and you know, guys to me that are just passionate and hungry to be the very best in the country at what they do, and are not complacent, but are constantly trying to find an edge to get better. And I really like our group that we have right now. You know, we've got a mix of some youth and some experience and NFL ties and college experience. And it's a good group. I'm really excited about the progress we've made. Really love the way that this coaching staff and staff that we have right now fits together, and the way that everyone is doing things. It's a really good group, and that's what I'm looking for. And it's always about fit. I mean, there's, when I got hired, you know, the time it took me to put together this staff probably took a lot longer than what most people wanted, but I was going to be very deliberate and take my time. And that's one thing that a lot of head coaches told me when I got this job, is take your time putting together your staff. Bob Stoops told me that at Oklahoma. He's like, don't rush it. You only get one opportunity to have your very first coaching staff, and I did, and I still made some mistakes in initially putting together that first staff, and it took a little bit of time because of it, but love where we are now, and every situation is different too. I've got a long list of coaches that I've worked with and a long list of coaches that I keep in mind. If I ever have an opening, somebody that I want to reach out to that I'm interested in hiring, but it's got to be the right timing for it as well. And there were a lot of great coaches that, you know, I would have loved to have had on my staff when I first got hired and still do at some point, but it just hasn't been the right time or the right fit to hire that guy. You know, I don't want necessarily 10 clones of me on this staff. You got to have different personalities. And then the guys on your offensive staff got to mesh well with the offensive coaches, and the defensive staff has to mesh well with the rest of the guys, because they're going to spend the majority of their time together, that offensive staff and defensive staff. And we're in a great place right now, much better than we were a year ago, and excited about the way we're moving forward.
Coach, speaking of timing, I know that we're running a little bit close on time now, but kind of maybe a last question for you. Recruiting's changed a lot in the last few years. How have you had to change your recruiting or player management style now that we have NIL and the transfer portal? Obviously, whatever you're doing is working. We're kind of curious in how that's developed with these new changes to the rules.
Yeah, it's a different time. You know, we've got to talk about a staff. We've got an awesome recruiting staff with Taylor Edwards and Drew Hickson, who head up that for us, and Jessica Jackson, who handles everything on campus. And their roles have changed, and they do a great job. But there's just so much more now. It's not just the high school recruiting. It's the, like you said, the transfer portal, name, image, and likeness coming into the equation. And the social media, the way that that's exploded, is just so much different than even it was just a few years ago in so many ways. So you got to stay ahead of the times. You got to stay on the cutting edge. You can't get complacent. And, you know, for us, it's constantly trying to be forward thinking and stay on the cutting edge. And then also worry about, you know, with the guys that we have in our program, just trying to continue to make this a program that players want to be a part of, that they're going to be held accountable. I mean, this is not an easy program to be a part of. They're going to be held accountable, our players. It's going to be very demanding. There's going to be a lot of work, but our guys know that we truly, truly care about them and love them, and that's obvious day in, day out. And, you know, it makes it a place where players want to stay a part of and become a part of as well. So that helps us just being ourselves and being real. And then just from a recruiting new players, trying to bring the new guys into the program, is just constantly staying forward thinking and trying to adjust with the times.
One last question, because I know we're coming close to the end of this. What's your favorite Gamecock tradition?
You know, it'd be hard for me not to say 2001 and coming out to 2001 and then Sandstorm in the stadium. I was an assistant coach here at South Carolina the very first time that we ever played Sandstorm in the stadium. So that was pretty cool to be a part of the very first time, and it seems like every athletic program in America now plays Sandstorm at their sporting events, but I can say that we did it first, and it is a tradition that's unique to us. And then, you know, 2001 has always been an awesome tradition here at South Carolina and a great entrance for our players to take the field to. And my dad was the head coach at Murray State out in Kentucky before he became the head coach at Virginia. Game at Murray State was going to play Austin Peay or Eastern Kentucky. So his very first away game, I think, when he became the head coach at Virginia Tech in 1987, was down here in Columbia, South Carolina. So I can remember being on the sideline. I was 10 years old, I believe, and you're in front of a huge crowd in Williams-Brice Stadium, and they play 2001, and here comes Sterling Sharp and Todd Ellis and all these guys. And I can just remember thinking, oh, my God, we're not at Murray State anymore. And that has not changed either. Every time that we get to run out of the tunnel to 2001 in front of Williams-Brice Stadium, I still get chills. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like a Saturday in Columbia. We've got some great traditions here, but those are certainly two of my favorites.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for joining us. We know you've got a busy offseason, and we appreciate you taking some time out of your day to come and chat with us and to all the people listening. So good luck this season, and we really appreciate you joining us.
Really appreciate you guys having me on. You guys do a great job, and thanks for all you do to promote college football, and really hope to do it again soon. Enjoy the rest of y'all summers, and we'll see you in Columbia.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Thank you,
Coach. Go Cox.
Go Cox.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say thanks to all of you who joined us. This is going to be recorded, so if you didn't catch the whole thing, once this ends, you should be able to start again from the beginning. This is RCFB Talk 37. My name is Bob Akairi. I was joined by J.D. Moore and Sirius. We do these typically Tuesday nights, but we had a special opportunity to talk to the head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks, and please feel free to listen in. We'll probably do another show tomorrow night, which is normally just sort of open talk. We listen to you, we take your questions, and we talk college football because that's what we all love. So we hope the rest of your Monday goes well. Thanks again for joining us. Take care, everyone.